Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 137 on July 26th, 2016. Changing the world, one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron of mine so I can spend more time doing these podcasts, answering all your questions, writing all those articles, and recording videos for people interested in pegging everywhere. Patreon.com/RubyRider or click the Support My Work button on the right-hand side of my website. Okay, first an announcement. I have scheduled another pegging class down in Long Beach at Tiffany's house. And this will be August 28th at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So any of you people that are local and have been waiting for me to schedule another class, there you go. I'm going to put the Eventbrite link in the Linkorama if you're interested, and I hope to see some of you there. Okay, I have so much territory to cover here. Many, many pages of your letters. So let's jump right on in. This one came from Reddit, and it was in a discussion about men being afraid to ask their partner for pegging. In my relationship, the biggest issue has been communication. She hasn't been 100% clear or open with any fantasies or activities that she wants to try. She keeps claiming that she's not into that kind of thing. But also, following the times we have done pegging, I have trouble getting across that I am choosing her to do this with, and that the main thing I'm attracted to in this relationship, and especially with pegging, is her, and how loyal and trustworthy she has been. I do, in small part, fear that it has the potential or has already caused her attraction for me to either temporarily waver or diminish. She is extremely attracted to my masculine qualities, my muscularity and strength from powerlifting, my give-no-fucks attitude, etc. And I feel like I rushed her into pegging and the role reversal messes with her, because during the act I am no longer the masculine one in her eyes. Which is kind of a shame for me, because I would love to potentially incorporate some cross-dressing and femdom into any future pegging sessions that we hopefully have. But I haven't brought this up, because I don't want to further mess with her sense of my masculinity and her femininity in our relationship. Because of this, I feel that sometimes she internalizes and ties who she is sexually to herself in other parts of her life. Even though she's open to new things, if she has a meh or okay experience, she'd rather throw it on the shelf or just go back to the status quo. I think at times she sees her sexual preferences and interests as a cross to bear instead of something to explore, play around with, and have exist outside of who you are going through your daily life. Anyway, I hope this helps for the next podcast, and I appreciate your thoughts on the subject matter. Your website has been a huge help for me in the past. Keep up the good work. Okay, one of the things that I thought immediately when I read this is something I came across on an article about relationships. And the main concept was that as we go through life, whatever gender we were born as or now identify as, if you will, because there's trans people who are listening too, and I totally get that. Since I'm a woman, I'm majoring in feminine and minoring in masculine, because there's always a balance. Always a balance. And to try and negate that balance or deny it, or to try and force your partner to not have any kind of balance there whatsoever, can be really harmful. There needs to be a balance in each and every one of us. It's not healthy to be 100% masculine if you are a man. What ends up happening in that example, we see all over the place in our society. There's absolutely no situations where it's acceptable for men to appear weak, and that gets conflated with vulnerability. Vulnerability plays a big part in pegging. You know, all of those things that society does to men because of their gender, they're not supposed to cry. They're not supposed to have strong emotions. This is really harmful to men on a very deep level. So if there's some way to talk to your partner and get across to her that there is a balance, and there's always a balance, and there needs to be a balance, that yes, you are clearly and obviously majoring in masculine, but that you need her to allow you to also experience that other side of you once in a while. This is very uncomfortable for a lot of women, and this is one of the things that gets people into trouble when the pegging thing happens. If they have a female partner who really has never considered seeing them in any other light except for masculine and is very invested in that staying the same, that can be a problem. Mostly because it is that conflation between the vulnerable and weak. You know, that is so not true that those two things are the same. Simply because you're vulnerable does not mean you're weak. And that's the thing that society puts on men. You can never, ever, ever appear to be weak. And certainly you, with your powerlifting and give no fucks attitude, I'm sure you take care not to appear weak as well. So talking this out with her perhaps might be a good idea. If you can find a sex-friendly therapist, that also might be a good idea. I understand your disappointment that she's not more open to this because you want to go a little bit further down into the cross-dressing and femdom. And you know, this is the interesting thing too, is that this is not at all unusual. Many times it is the hyper-masculine men, and especially men who are in positions of authority, in positions of where they have to be that ultra-masculine all the time. The CEOs of companies, the cops, the firemen, the rescue guys, people like that, the military guys. It's not rare for them to want to express that feminine side with cross-dressing, to be dominated with the pegging, the whole deal. So this is not at all unusual. But her inability to accept it is painful, I'm sure, for you, because you really wanted to go further down that path, like you say. As far as what you wrote about your partner, that you sometimes feel she internalizes and ties who she is sexually to herself in other parts of her life, I don't want to be like junior psychologist and try and figure that out, but I do have a suggestion for you. One of the things that it does come through fairly loud and clear is that she doesn't seem to be very comfortable talking about her sexuality. You wrote, "I think at times she sees her sexual preferences and interests as a cross to bear instead of something to explore, play around with, and have exist outside of you as you're going through life." I'm not sure what you mean about existing outside of you, but one thing that comes through very loud and clear is it does not seem like she's really comfortable with her sexuality, and one of the first places to go with that is being able to talk about it. So to encourage a conversation about sexuality, to talk about it comfortably, to share your fantasies and desires with each other. Sometimes a little liquor will loosen you up to have this conversation. Sometimes a little pot, if that's what you do. But what I'm hearing is that there's not a lot of comfort talking about this at all, and communication is one of the first places to start. If you two can find a way to become comfortable talking about it, that paves the way for you to express things to her and ask her her feelings about different things. So that would be one of my first suggestions. But I do think that if you can find a sex-positive therapist, a kink-friendly therapist, if you will, it would probably be a good idea, because there are parts of her that it doesn't sound like she's letting out. Maybe it's from social conditioning that she really doesn't want to save any space for anything other than the typical gender roles. You know, the masculine and the feminine, and that's all there is to it. So, yeah. But having a conversation, perhaps, about vulnerability versus weakness. I'm going to put a link in my Linkorama, and I've linked to this so many times, to the Brené Brown TED Talk that speaks to this conflating vulnerability and weakness. I think that might be a good thing for her to watch, and you guys to watch together, perhaps. It's an awesome thing. So good luck to you. Thanks for writing in and sharing this. I wish you the best of luck, and please do let us know how it goes. So this is another email. Firstly, I just wanted to say a huge thanks for everything you do. Your advice and wisdom in the area of pegging is fantastic, and I really enjoy the humor you inject into your podcasts, too. You mentioned lubes at several points during your most recent podcast, and this has prompted me to message you. Do you have any advice on lubes that are hypoallergenic, or at least not likely to have any negative effects on those who are quite sensitive to the ingredients of lubes? I have used several. Most recently, ID Glide Water Base Lube, which claims to be hypoallergenic. And while my play is fine, it seems to upset my anal area after play, and I feel very sensitive. I remember a podcast a long time ago that concerned lubes, but don't recall any advice on lubes that won't irritate. Thanks for your kind words. That was very sweet. Slickwood Silk is my go-to for the best pegging lube. It's a hybrid lube with about 12% silicone and the rest water-based, so it's not going to harm silicone toys. Sliquid does state in their information that their products are formulated to be hypoallergenic. So if you have an allergy to silicone, which is really rare but possible, then you can use this Sliquid brand called Sassy, and that is only water-based. I don't really care for the Sassy as much as the Silk because you have to use more. It doesn't last as long, but it does reactivate with a little bit of a touch of water. So if you get the Silk, make sure you get the regular Silk and not the organic one. The organic one contains aloe and it dries out and gets sticky, which is majorly bad for pegging. And last but not least, if that doesn't work and the Silk is something that you still react to, have you tried organic coconut oil? That would be my next step. And perhaps you want to try the coconut oil before the Silk. There you go. I will have the ever-present link to Sliquid Silk on my Linkorama as well. I think I put it there every single time. Okay, here's another letter. I am seeking something that will provide pleasure for both my wife and I. We tried a Fieldo and she couldn't keep it in. That could be fixed with a harness, but before I paid for another toy, we got rid of that one. I'd like to do a little research. Any advice? So, okay, here's the deal. If you're beginners, I've said this before, and it is true for the vast majority of people out there, I consider doubles like the Fieldo to be kind of an advanced toy. The learning curve can be a little steep for women first learning how to fuck. So starting off with a single dildo and a good harness allows her to figure out how to move, how to build up strength, balance, and all of those things. Basically how to fuck you. So first, I would actually ask her if she's really invested in the idea of her getting pleasure while fucking you right from the start. Or are you the driver of that bus? Because she may want to spend some time just learning how to fuck before trying to add in an orgasm from it as well. That said, Fuse makes a line of single dildos that have an awesome vibe option. So if you pair one of them, whichever size appeals to you, with the WeVibe Tango Bullet, they work so well. The bases are really specially designed to like nestle right between the vaginal lips and get up close and personal with the clit. They're very well designed toys. The vibe is really well placed and the Tango Bullet is really quite strong. As far as the harnesses are concerned, my advice is always buy once and buy quality. So the spare parts Jacques or the Aslan Leather Jaguar or the Minx. And then this guy wrote back and said, thank you for the comments. I am the driver of the bus. My wife goes along because I enjoy it. She can take it or leave it. I'm hoping she will enjoy it more with the right toy. Also, Ruby, I am a military man. I love the idea of surrendering control, but never have. My wife isn't dominant and doesn't get anything out of the role reversal. Before I married, I went home with a girl that tried to get me to fall asleep before sex. I thought that odd. I found handcuffs she hid under the pillow. She intended to peg me, but my surprise ruined the moment for her. However, the idea grew on me, and I decided to try it with my wife. We have been doing it for years, but always with me topping from the bottom, per se. Whatever, to get her more into it. I like the idea of the Fuse, but they seem small. What about a Jaguar harness and a Fuse dildo? And then I replied, got it. You drive the bus. Thanks for your service. So many military men love pegging. The Fuse Wild is the largest they offer, I think. It is almost 7 inches insertable and 1.7 inches in diameter. Not a beginner toy. The Jaguar would work well with all Fuse dildos, yes. Also, if she likes feminine things, the spare parts Sasha or Bella are beautiful, with sexy garters for stockings. If she's used to being submissive, consider tying her to the bed with the strap on, optional blindfold, nipple clamps, and or ball gag, then you ride her. You could turn on her vibe before you start. It might not be your style, but it's a thought. And I realize it's no closer to you surrendering, but it might make pegging more fun for her. It was an interesting story about the girl who planned to peg you while you were asleep. My first reaction was, consent? Does your wife orgasm mostly from clitoral stimulation, G-spot, or both? If G-spot is a factor, since you have been pegging for years, do consider the Fuse Tango. It's the best double out there, much better than the Fieldo. Vibe placement is excellent. It's not as rigid as the Fieldo and not as heavy floppy as the Fun Factory Share. It was designed to take the best parts of all the doubles out there and put it into one toy. So there ends the back and forth with this man. I hope he had some success on getting the wife to get a little bit more excited. This is a common theme. There's a lot of men out there who have partners who are on board, but not enthusiastically. And, you know, one of the things that I would say as well is, It's great that they will do it for you. And enthusiastic, of course, is excellent. And you would love for them to really want to do it themselves and to be the one to initiate and that sort of thing. But it is a victory to have a partner who will peg you. If she never gets enthusiastic, at least you have a partner who pegs you. And you know, that's kind of the definition of good giving in game. I have done things for partners that I wasn't really enthusiastic about, but I knew they loved it. And I don't know, I would hope that my lack of enthusiasm didn't show. I guess I always have enthusiasm for providing a partner with pleasure. So if they totally get off on something, I'm down just because I love to see them so turned on. So anyway, sir, I hope things have improved and you found some lovely new toys to add to your collection and have some fun with. This was a comment on Pegging 101 in regards to the prostate orgasm article. I am a 45-year-old male, straight, married with four children. A friend of mine bought me an Adam male prostate vibrator, I think as a joke, for my 40th. So I've had it for 5 years now and used it many, many times. I thought it felt quite good, but in the end, I would take it out and just masturbate to a penile orgasm. I thought it was all hype. All this elusive prostate orgasm was overrated. But one night I was relaxed and I decided to have a bit of play. I was 44 at the time. I tried many different ways and I thought that my prostate was quite deep inside, but in fact it's correct that it is really only about 1 inch inside at the front wall. So, basically this means that it's more or less behind your testicles. As such, you need to insert the toy and rotate it so that the bent over part is facing forward as if you were trying to make it come out behind your balls. It takes time. Hold it there and rotate it gently left and right. Oh, I find the very best position is laying on your side with one leg up, bent up as if you are spooning a girl and trying to watch yourself penetrating her. Push the end of the toy gently downwards towards your coccyx so that the nose of the toy pushes into your prostate firmly, but be careful. It is possible to push too hard and hurt yourself, in which case a little blood might be seen in your ejaculate. For the most part, this does not happen, so do not be scared. I use BioGlan oil as my choice of lubrication, and I literally squirt some of it up my tract so it's very lubricated. Again, rotate the toy left and right and keep doing this. You can also move it up and down the inside front wall of your anal tract. This is a really beautiful feeling. You will actually be able to remember how that felt for days afterwards. Continue doing this until at some point, and you will know when, you will reach orgasm. You will probably naturally slow down the movement of the toy and push harder as it comes on. The orgasm. Oh my God, it will outdo a penile orgasm 50 to 1. Also, unlike a penile orgasm, it does not stop. I have, on days off work, literally laid there in the late of night and orgasmed for 6 hours straight. I am not kidding. When you get that feeling, it's very hard to actually stop and go to sleep. It's the kind of pleasure one could almost stop doing anything and just continue to feel it over and over and over. Best of luck. I wish all men could experience this. You're not gay, and gay men should not be the only ones to feel this. It is without question the greatest, most intense pleasure a man could ever hope to experience in his whole life. It actually makes a penile orgasm seem like a waste of time and effort. One tip, don't touch your penis. I have found that if I masturbate while doing it to get a double orgasm, once I come normally, I don't feel like doing it anymore. Wow, that was really such an exquisitely written and detailed description of exactly how you achieved this. I looked up BioGlan oil and found out that BioGlan is a brand, and they have a whole bunch of different supplements and types of things that they sell. I'm assuming that you probably use the BioGlan coconut oil, since you didn't say what kind, but that doesn't make any difference. So it was delightful to read really specific instructions of how it felt, how you achieved it, and actually how you rather stumbled upon it, because in the beginning it didn't sound like you were too impressed with anal play, and then sort of by accident, you found out where it was. It's amazing when you do find the right spot. I love the description that you could feel that, you could remember that feeling for days and days. I love that. And I've heard other men say that too, that it just kind of keeps going and going and going, and you can't forget it, and you just want to do it all the time. So good for you for finding that. And thank you for sharing all this information with my listeners, because I'm sure there's some guys out there that are going to be trying it out. Good luck to you, sir. And good luck to all of you out there that are trying to reach that elusive prostate orgasm. Okay, the next two I'm going to read are very similar, so I'm going to read them both and then answer, because it's pretty much the same question. This was a comment left on my Pegging 101. Hi there, I'm having a little problem trying to get my wife to understand why I want this, and that it is not her for me wanting a little more sexual pleasure. Please help. Not sure about the mistakes in that sentence, but I totally get what he means. And then here's the next one. It was titled Convincing My Wife. This is an email. Hi, read your blogs and need to convince my wife to peg me. She is not willing to do it since it makes her feel, quote, unnatural, end quote. We love each other and this will take our sex life to another level. I have been ready for some time now. Need your help / advice on this. Okay, so once again, trying to get the wife to understand why you want it. Podcast 112, I recorded very specifically for women who have been introduced to this concept, but have all of these misconceptions and believe the myths, and also not just misconceptions, but fears. It's really important to understand that sometimes there's fears involved in doing this. And once you get that, hopefully you have some empathy and you can be gentle with her attitude, as opposed to potentially getting angry or resentful that she's unwilling to give you what you want. Women can indeed have fears about this. And I'm going to put a link to the article I wrote, Her Strap-On Fears, I think is what I called it. I'll put that in the Linkorama, because many times when I've linked to this before, I've had men say, you know, this is pretty much exactly it. And it goes over a few things. There are some women out there who really hesitate to just strap one on because it's a strange thing. It's putting a cock on. It's really odd. And depending on how attached she is to rigid gender stereotypes, then maybe it's not okay for her to strap a cock on, and it kind of screws with her head. This was something I had to realize that some women go through, because I didn't ever go through it. I couldn't wait to strap a cock on. I had no problem with that at all, which is probably why I'm here in front of this microphone doing this. But nonetheless, it is indeed a very real fear for some women. Also, they fear that it will compromise their femininity. And also they have fears sometimes that they're just not going to be very good at it because it's so awkward and weird looking and new, and they've never done anything with a cock strapped on. So all of these are very valid things. I don't know whether she is doing the fear thing about her side of things or the misconception and fears about your side of things too, because it's not just a misconception that you might be bisexual. It's a fear that it's going to make you more that way, or that it's going to turn you gay, or all the silly stuff that we talk about pretty often here. So this podcast, number 112, addresses all that. And this is also for the man in the second email. You mentioned she's not willing to do it since it makes her feel unnatural. Yeah, that's exactly one of the things that I was implying when I've talked about her not wanting to strap it on. Is it a natural thing for a woman to strap on a fake cock and fuck her guy in the ass? Well, it all depends on your definition of natural now, doesn't it? Some people really shy away from toys because they do that unnatural thing. So it could be that. But I mean, if you use any toys at all with each other, that shouldn't be a problem. But yeah, see, this sounds like one of the women where it kind of messes with her head and it feels unnatural. I would also advise this woman to listen to podcast 112. And gentlemen, both of you need to know that you need to listen to that podcast yourself first. And you need to decide yourself whether the podcast is appropriate for your wife, because only you can make that decision. I can recommend that this might be a good thing for her to listen to, but please listen to it first and make your own decision as to whether or not it's appropriate. That should help with a whole lot of issues and maybe get the conversation going at least. For the second guy saying it makes her feel unnatural, one of the things that you can also do is you can have her use it with her hand. And sometimes that's a bit of a gateway. She sees how much pleasure it gives you. You know, it occurs to me also that one of the things she might mean by unnatural is that it's anal. I don't know if you two do any anal play whatsoever. And it's quite normal and natural for people to do anal play during sex. It might not be something she's ever done a whole bunch of, so she might consider that to be unnatural as well. It sounds like talking, communicating about this, is important. And you know, the three guidelines that I always advise when you're in a situation where it's going to take some time, and this is more for the second email than the first, is there's three factors you need to keep in mind. Information, so you keep giving her information. Patience. And then the last word is persistence. Now, I've been called out on that persistence word before because people thought I meant you just don't ever give up. No matter what she says, you never give up. Well, if she says flat out, no, I'm never going to do this, and so forget it, then you have to live with that. But if it's a matter of her saying, you know, this makes me feel uncomfortable, and she doesn't give you a flat no, then gently, occasionally, bring it up again, tell her how much you would love to try this with her. And also, keep in mind that it's really, really important to rock your wife's worlds. I'm talking to both of you now. Rock your wife's world sexually. Give them exactly what they want over and over and over again until they're just like dripping little melted puddles of pleasure. And most partners, when given so much satisfaction, will be eager to turn that around and give their partner what they want and need. So make sure you're addressing all of those parts of the whole, because it has a lot of aspects, this situation. Okay, so when I say information, here's what I mean. She needs to know how the prostate is like the G-spot. If she's a G-spot woman, or if she knows friends who have G-spot pleasure, then her knowing that you have a spot inside your ass that is capable of giving you that much pleasure, that is potentially capable of giving you multiple orgasms and long extended orgasms. This is important for her to know because it's a source of pleasure that is described by most men as being 10 times more powerful than a regular orgasm. It's something clearly that you would want to try even after just hearing that. So the other part of the information is how important it is for prostate stimulation to take place to keep the prostate healthy. Now, there are theories that it helps avoid prostate cancer, but it certainly and has been proven to help avoid swollen prostate. The very best thing you can do to help avoid swollen prostate is to ejaculate every day and have prostate massage. And pegging is a form of prostate massage. Good luck to you both. Try out the podcast if you can. Open up the communication lines. Information, patience, and persistence. Okay, gentlemen, good luck to you. Let us know how it goes. This was a comment on Pegging 101 regarding the article No Fun for Her Yet. And this was an article that I took a comment that a woman wrote in who was having a very tough time with her partner and the whole pegging thing. There were a lot of aspects to it, and he did not sound like a very giving and considerate partner, and I do believe that since then the whole relationship is broken up. However, people keep finding this and leaving comments because it is a pretty intense thing to read, and it seems like many people have something to say about it, so I have one more comment. Just for clarifying, some submission is not the same as submission or domination. Female domination can be as normal as when you're doing a rougher sex with sex and guiding her through what you want. Being a straight man myself actually is a relief that my partner enjoys this kind of domination, because it's like removing a weight from my shoulders of always having to be the most active partner. With my ex, when I even mentioned to her about approaching her hand from the part between the testicles and the anus, the perineum, she kind of freaked out, but was fine with me sticking my penis in her ass. Pegging, in my opinion, is like a way to evolve my relationship with my girlfriend. It has taught me to be more soft and gentle with her throughout my life. Being the passive partner, I actually kind of enjoy being active when being pegged. It reminds me of what regular women do when they take over the action. Being the passive partner is actually really surprising. I kind of enjoy the idea of girls with strap-ons, but the best part for me is to see her face, which is a mix of super sexy and soft woman with a rougher part on her, while having pleasure for both of us and allowing myself to be more passive. Actually, after 2 years of pegging, I recommend to couples to do the same. But I'd take Ruby's suggestion on taking it slow. My girlfriend started things out really fast for me. She did this in the past, and it freaked me out. I thought that I was becoming gay and couldn't process all that new information and sensation. Thanks to Ruby and her blog, I've slowed things down to a more comfortable pace for me. Nowadays, I'd say that I want to be pegged all the time, and that's actually starting to annoy me a bit because it's so fucking good. But we've come to a balance to this. We use a strap-on about 30% of all the times we have sex, but the other 70%, we make sure that 50 to 60 of those she includes some kind of anal foreplay with me. I feel that I have the best sex life in the world. In regards to sex, this is by far the best relationship I've ever had in my life. I may have overwritten a bit, but if you're interested, or if someone else is, I can actually in-depth explain my experience with my girlfriend and how we came from being sexually incompatible to being a perfect match. Oh, that's lovely to read. Wow. A perfect match. I really enjoyed how you talked about the percentages. You have it all down. It's like, okay, 30% of the time we're going to do pegging. But about 50 to 60% of the leftover time, I need some anal foreplay. So the ass gets a lot of action in your bed is what it sounds like. I rarely hear men tell a story that their girlfriend started them out really quickly. Almost always it's the other way around, so that intrigues me. It sounds like she was a bit of the driver of that bus in between you guys. So that's rare and kind of refreshing. It was awesome. Your story about your ex where she freaked out about touching your perineum. Yeah, some people are just not open to anal play, and you get them even close to it and they do kind of freak out. Thanks for writing in and telling your story, sir. Okay, this is an email that I got some time ago, and when I read it before I did the podcast, I went, oh my, and you'll see why. Hey, Ruby, I don't have long, so I'll make this fast. My gorgeous girlfriend and I have been pegging for several years. She is so hot, she looks like Taylor Swift, but with bigger tits. Anyway, I just wanted to get your thoughts on something. We're going down to the Caribbean soon, and she said she's bringing two things, her wand and her strap-on. She said she wants to try something new also. She said after I come in her mouth, she wants to passionately make out, swapping it. She also said she wants a, quote, couple's cocktail, and told me I'm going to go down on her after finishing inside. I know it's not directly related to pegging, but I wanted to know your thoughts. I'm not against doing anything with her, but do you think this is a common for pegging couples? Any advice for how I make it the best possible experience for her? I'm already eating lots of pineapple, laugh out loud. Thank you in advance. So this really made me laugh. It really made me laugh. This is delightful. Okay, so the word common for pegging couples. You know, I encourage everyone out there to let go of common and normal. Because who really cares, first of all? You may have already made your trip to the Caribbean and experienced deeply kissing your girlfriend who has a mouthful of your cum in her mouth. Some men love that. I really enjoy doing that, and I have a lot of respect for the men that enjoy it, because I think it is not uncommon for men to be a little freaked out about tasting their own cum, and I so enjoy being with a man who is really comfortable with all bodily fluids, so to speak. It's like he doesn't shy away from putting his mouth on my pussy and licking me and, you know, kissing me after I've gone down on him and I have cum in my mouth. I really appreciate that. I think it's really sexy, and it sounds like your girlfriend does too. So I'm glad you're not against doing anything, but I couldn't tell you whether it's common for pegging couples. I don't have a clue. I think it's somewhat common for all couples having sex. I wouldn't say pegging couples. And advice on how to make it the best possible experience for her? Be enthusiastic. Enjoy it. Have a good time. Laugh. And eat lots of pineapple. There you go. Oh, and the other part is not just kissing with her cum in your mouth, but you also talked about going down on her after finishing inside. You know, that's actually a very exciting fetish for some guys, where that's their favorite thing, is to go down on a woman after they finish inside and kind of clean her out, if you will. Sometimes it is seen as a rather dominant move, sometimes not. Some guys just like the taste of their own cum. They like licking their partner. And some women think, okay, now you're going to clean me out and kind of order them to do it as an act of dominance. I'm not sure where you guys fall in those categories, but I think you're going to enjoy the hell out of the whole thing. And I'm really curious this time. Write and let us know how it went in the Caribbean. Thanks for writing in. This was on Pegging Paradise in regards to the article, No, He's Not Gay. What if you catch your fiancé cheating behind your back with a secret butch football player-looking lover that he meets up with for her to fuck him in the ass, then found a text that he was considering letting her two gay friends fuck him? On top of it, he never told me, his fiancé, that he liked ass play. Am I a cover to his secret life? Is he possibly fighting the fact that he is gay? Is that something I can even come back from? Is this a sex addiction? Can therapy help? Sometimes we have issues in the bedroom. He can't get hard. We have to have sex on his terms and when he wants it. I'm not willing to wear a strap-on for him. My sexuality and my sexual play just doesn't get that kinky. I would have used toys on him, but now, knowing he had a secret life for the past 6 years, I don't know how to process that. Please help with your opinion and thoughts. I'm very confused and hurt. Ooh, I can only imagine that you are very confused and hurt. And from my perspective, one of the first things I need to say is this is above my pay grade. I am not a therapist. I really wish that I can drop right in and give you all kinds of wonderful advice. All I can do is give you some opinions. It's never a pleasant thing to be cheated on. I don't know if you can come back from this or not. I have no idea if he has any bisexual tendencies or not, but what you said about the secret girlfriend planning on letting her two gay friends fuck him indicates that he at least has some bi curiosity. It's a long time to be lied to. If you have any inclination to try and save the relationship, therapy would probably be the best place to start. You kind of conflict on a couple of things that you said, that you're not willing to wear a strap-on for him because your sexuality in play doesn't get that kinky, but then you right after that said you would have used toys on him. Well, you know, a strap-on is a toy. But for him having a secret life for the past 6 years, I don't know how you can get past that, and I don't know how to tell you to process it. I don't think that I could get past it, but I'm not you. So it depends on how much you really want that relationship to work, how much you feel like you can trust him again. And I think you definitely need to do therapy. Is it sex addiction? I don't believe sex addiction is a real thing. I think that sex addiction is something that is built arising from shame. And I don't think it's a real thing, but that's a whole nother subject. But are you a cover-up for his secret life? You know, unfortunately, there are way too many couples where the men are afraid to express their desires, or perhaps they really want to have that Madonna whore thing going on where the wife, the fiance, or the girlfriend is the typical conservative, modest partner, and then they want someone who's wild sexually to fuck. It's a really strange thing to do and creates all kinds of pain and heartache when the double life is found out. I am of the opinion that you can combine those things. You can have someone who has integrity and honesty and you can believe in and you can really admire as a partner. And that person can also have a side of them that is quite slutty in bed, quite fun and wild. You don't need to make that two different people, and it's really sad when the desire for that wild sexual experience is something they can't express to the partner that they've chosen. These are the challenges of a monogamous relationship. Personally, keep in mind, please, that I have chosen to be non-monogamous, but I'm doing the best I can to look at things from a monogamous point of view because clearly you two had a monogamous agreement. But I don't know. Try therapy. I'm so sorry that this happened to you. I get that you're confused and hurt, and I hope that somehow you both find your way back to happiness, whether it's together or apart. And I wish you the best. Thanks for writing in. I wish I could have been more help. Okay, and here is a little section of chat that I had with somebody on Facebook a couple of nights ago. And we started chatting. This is very rare. I don't usually chat with people I don't know on Facebook because I simply don't have the time. And he wrote, I read one of your articles on the site and was actually shocked that I found you here on Facebook. And he said, I was trying to find the exact article on the site. Can't find it, but I loved how you were describing how it takes a sense of vulnerability and openness, and that when you see that, you just want to scoop him up. And I said back to him, ah, that's my favorite thing, opening up a man's vulnerable place and then holding him afterwards, yes. And I don't mean just literally. There's so much emotional stuff that can come out with pegging. He answered, yeah, you said you just want to scoop him up and peg him till he cries out with pleasure. Like, I absolutely loved it, the fact that you said you want to scoop him up. I imagined myself in that situation, and it sounded so amazing and loving. And I wrote, interesting. I find that many men really enjoy the concept of being comforted and held. It is not really socially acceptable for men to need that, yet everyone does, from time to time. He responded, that's absolutely what I love, just being opened up figuratively and literally, and I absolutely love the thought of it. I'd love to be held and have my legs wrapped around and just be embraced and have, for once, someone who looks to make my satisfaction and loving me the utmost priority. At that point in time, I asked him if I could use our words on my podcast because this is a part that men don't express a whole lot. There is a part of them that wants to let go of, not every man, but many men. And certainly if you're listening to this podcast, probably you're with a man who wants to experience this on some level. Letting go of the responsibility for always running the fuck, always being in control, always deciding what's going to happen next. And not just that responsibility for running the fuck, but also being attended to and focused on. Like this young man said, being with someone who makes their satisfaction and loving them the utmost priority. There was a man who I dated very briefly. I just had a couple of dates with him and it didn't go anywhere. But one of the things he said to me was, I can imagine how intoxicating it would be to have the level of focus and intention in lovemaking focused on me that I typically focus on the woman that I'm with. Bingo. Right there. And you know what? All you men out there deserve that. And it doesn't have to be pegging. It can be just a total, I'm going to take care of everything and I'm going to give you a blowjob and I'm going to make you, you know, cry out with pleasure. And then I'm just going to totally hold you. There is that extra element that makes it really uncomfortable for men sometimes is being held. In fact, it was this same man who said, I don't know how much I could be held. Because I've done it before with women where, you know, they cozy me up and I put my head on their chest. But pretty quickly, there's this voice inside me that says, okay, you need to move and you need to be the dominant guy and be holding her. You can't stay like this. And I would love to encourage all the men out there to let that go. You know, if you have a girlfriend who's down with this, a partner who's down with it, put your head on those lovely breasts and just relax and let her hold you. We all need that sometimes, I believe. I really, really believe that. And I believe that it's so important to have that feeling of safety and being comforted and held and that kind of stuff. And I'm probably projecting here somewhat because it's one of my favorite things. But it's also one of my favorite things to provide to the men who are able to allow it. Not all men are, just like this young man that I dated a couple of times spoke about. So yeah, there you go. Thank you, sir, for allowing me to read this on my podcast. That was awesome. And I did enjoy the chat, as rare as those chats on Facebook are. Caught me at a good time. All right, here we go. Here is a comment that was left on my Pegging Paradise forum, and it's about equipment. My wife and I have been into pegging for 8 years or so, and have tried a few different harnesses with no luck. My wife doesn't like to use them because they would hurt her pelvic bone. I think you probably meant pubic bone. I was thinking of getting the Aslan leather minx harness for my wife, but I do have a few questions. Like I said, we've been doing this for a while, so I have moved up to a rather large dildo. Will this harness accept large dildos? Also, what is the Jaguar corset panel upgrade, and what does it look like? Will it make it more comfortable for her? Thanks for any info. Okay, here's the deal about all of that. First of all, if you have a harness that allows the toy to sit down below the pubic bone, right on the vaginal lips and the clitoral area, that is ideal. Sometimes that can be a little tricky to situate it correctly because it is pretty far down there. The Aslan Jaguar and the Aslan Minx are two harnesses that I know that you can do that with, and also the spare parts Jacques, but you mentioned the Aslan, so we're going to talk about that. Okay, so you mentioned that you've moved up to a rather large dildo. In this world, sir, of toys going into asses, measurements are always appreciated, please. What is large to you may not be large to me. What is large to you might be much larger than I think of as large. So measurements are always, always appreciated. So here's the deal. Normally, with a really large dildo, what you've got is a flared base to deal with. If you are using a large dildo that doesn't have balls on it, because when you get to the really big ones, like the Tantus Haas that I just did a review on, that's got a huge set of balls attached to it, so it's not going to work for the Aslan Jaguar harness. If the toys that you use have a flared base without the balls, then it can fit in the Aslan Jaguar or Minx harnesses, and the maximum size would be about 3 inches at the base. So I'm talking about the flared base at the bottom. It can't be any more than about 3 inches in diameter, because any wider than that, and those straps that hold the O-ring on, are not going to fit. So 3 inches in diameter for the base of it, which does not mean that that is the measurement of the shaft or the head of the toy. So how do you hold that in with the Aslan Jaguar or the Minx? Tantus sells an O-ring set that we have available through enticeme.com, and it's a whole collection of them. I think the smallest is like 1.2 inches for the people who really like the thinner toys and want a nice tight O-ring to hold that really securely so that it doesn't move. The biggest one is 2.5 inches in diameter, and I'm imagining since they're silicone, they do stretch a tiny bit, so probably the largest you'd be able to get in there would be a 2.75. So if you're picturing all this correctly, that's about the maximum size of toys that you can use with that type of harness. So if your preference of toys doesn't go beyond that, then you're good. If it does go beyond that, you can either make a do-it-yourself harness with scarves, which I'm going to put a link to my review of the Tantus Haas, and you can tie that harness, and you can tie that dildo on with scarves, or a reader of mine just sent in a specialized, really big dildo holder harness that Extreme Restraints makes. So if you guys want to check that out too, if you got any size kings out there perking up your ears at this point, that is a possibility as well. Now, you asked what's the Jaguar corset panel upgrade. So here's the deal. These harnesses come in parts, kind of. They don't arrive in parts, but they do have parts to them. The Minx has this beautiful corset back, and it provides one more point of adjustment. I usually recommend the Minx, especially for big, beautiful women with big hips, big butt. It works really well, and especially big thighs. It works really well for them, but it can be used by any woman. And the corset back is a beautiful thing to look at, and it fits really well. It has a wider balance point, so to speak, so that pieces of leather that form the corset in the back are wider and really just make the whole thing a little bit more secure, even though the Aslan Jaguar is very, very secure. But it's a very luxurious thing. It's like the top-of-the-line Cadillac would be the Minx. So if you already have a Jag, what they do sell is that corset panel upgrade, and you just get the pieces that go together in the back. So all the corset panel upgrade is what the Minx harness looks like. So rather than get the Jag with the corset panel upgrade, just get the Minx. Will it make it more comfortable for her? If she is a big, beautiful woman, it will make it more comfortable for her. Absolutely. So the last thing I want to mention is that you said you like really big toys. There can be some difficulty, even with either one of these harnesses, the Jaguar or the Minx, in having a really big toy fit down far enough to where it does go past the pubic bone so that you're thrusting and it is pressing against the clitoral area and not the pubic bone. because when the toys get big, you can really only put so much between your legs is kind of what happens. So if the toys that you enjoy are that big, it really might be quite difficult for her to find a way to fit it down where it should be to avoid the pubic bone bruising thing. Until I learned how to wear the toys in the right place and kind of scoot them down and make it ride really low and attach the harness so that it holds them in place right where I wanted them to, I had a number of experiences with going for it long and hard and then ending up with a bruised pubic bone, and it's really no fun. So if that's the case, you might have to try and rigging something up that's a little more homemade to cushion the base of that toy against her pubic bone. And that's about all the information I have for you. Let us know what you figure out and how it works. Thanks for writing in. Okay, this is an email. Ruby, first off, I wish that I had found your podcast sooner in life, but better to find it now than never. Western culture has a tendency to frown on kinks and fetishes as taboos and labels things like pegging sodomy, as you are well aware. So seeing as I live in the greater Cleveland area, you can imagine that July is not promising a very positive atmosphere for anyone who isn't heterosexual, cis, and of course, vanilla. That being said, I appreciated where you were coming from in your latest podcast when you talked about how members of your audience will indulge in fantasy and how irritating and annoying it is. And as an aside, I believe what he is talking about is members of my audience indulging, not just indulging in fantasy, but expressing their fantasy about me to me. So I'll go on now. Obviously, the folks are well-intentioned for the most part, and you're not doing anything that should lead them to think that you're a professional dom for hire. I feel bad for them because God knows it happens to everyone. I am gender fluid, and sometimes that identity and presentation will stir things inside of others that I then have to deal with. I have seen a lot of cishet guys on FetLife looking for vanilla sex, and unless you are a woman consenting to touch their equipment, they go into a flying mad rage. The fragile male ego is not often ready to handle the idea that sexually open and open-minded people still want to get to know the people they fool around or play with. A friend from FetLife once pointed me to a YouTube video made by a kink family about foot fetish guys who show up to parties unwashed, wearing just a trench coat, and who immediately perv out on strangers. The video is hilarious and makes the great point that a person does not want to be objectified. In conclusion to this vein of discussion, you may have already thought or said this, but I think that is what happens when someone latches on to you or other sex educators, a kind of objectification that is healthy to confront and overcome without the person feeling undignified beyond what they have already done to their dignity. The big thing to remember for the person doing the objectifying is to snap themselves out of it and to realize that there is no shame in their fetish, but it is degrading to be objectified by others. My second topic is a lot more brief and less abstract. Since pegging does have to do with penetration of the anus, a lot of those with hemorrhoids, also known as piles, might feel like anal exploration is off limits, and I do not want them to feel that this is so. As unpleasant as it is to think about rectal varices, there is a simple solution that I looked up to double check myself in case someone had already tried it. Since varicose veins, such as piles, are caused generally by a pooling of blood from a lack of activity or motion, it stood to reason that gentle to moderate vibration would alleviate discomfort and reduce the size of the inflamed tissue by stimulating blood flow and loosening buildup of blood cells. So, if a person curious about ass play, or already into it, calls things off when their pile does a flare-up, they only have to apply a vibrating egg to the outside of the anus without penetrating, and the tissue should shrink in size and return to normal. They may not want to go right into penetration afterwards, but the effect is pretty rapid. Within a day or so, a person could feel comfortable having anal sex solo or with a partner. Excellent information about the vibrations to help ease hemorrhoids. That's awesome. So I put that into the collective hemorrhoid knowledge. And yes, I do get that question fairly often from guys who have hemorrhoids and say, okay, since I have these, should I just never do this? Or what do you recommend when they're starting to flare up and you really want to do some ass play? So Massaging is also another thing that I've heard, with a variety of different toys that are smaller in diameter. In fact, Aneros makes one that is handheld. I think it's called the Peristal or something like that. So that is something you could use, but I haven't considered before, or at least if I have, I don't recall it, using vibration, and that's a brilliant solution. So it's good to know your experiences on that, and thanks for sharing that. As far as the, I think you named your subject line of your email procedure and protocol, so, or maybe it was the other way around, doesn't matter. And talking about the whole guys wanting me to fuck them because I'm Ruby Ryder, I totally get that here I am talking about the total taboo stuff, and they're so excited that I'm actually talking about it that it's really hard to control themselves, because thank God they finally found someone who can speak openly about this, who's excited about it, who is passionate about it, who loves to do it. I know that sometimes it's very hard at that juncture to keep control and to not start talking really sexually to the person who seems to be standing there opening this door. Well, I am opening a door, guys. I totally am opening a door. I'm opening a door containing information, encouragement. I'll listen to your stories. I'll answer your questions. And that's as far as it goes. I love all you guys out there. I really wish that I had the magic wand to find you someone who would peg you tomorrow, tonight, today, right now. But I don't. And we've talked about that a lot, about the different ways that you can hopefully find someone. And I know there's a lot of you also who love it and don't get enough of it. So a lot of craving, a lot of desire, a lot of unsatisfied desires. So here I am talking about it. And I know it's very difficult to not sexualize me, but that's where you cross the line. I know that it's probably difficult for you to know what it feels like, but it feels icky. It feels violating. It feels uncomfortable, which is why, if any of you listening have had that experience with me, that would be why I call you out on it ASAP. And that's why I have a bit of a hair trigger on it, too. It's like, well, I can only imagine what it would feel like to have you, the dildo that you're wearing, sliding up my ass. And that's not directly saying I want you to fuck me, but it's about as close as you can get. And so I call guys on that sometimes, too, and say, you know, please don't do that. You know, you can fantasize about it, you can think about it all you want, but don't tell me. Don't tell me. I don't write letters to, like, Robert Downey Jr. or the Captain America dude. Names are going to fail me here. Or any of, you know, the famous guys that I have fantasized about fucking. I don't write them letters and say, hey, I'd really like to fuck you. I imagine about it all the time. Now, I know that they're not out there as sex educators talking about it either, and that does feel like the accessible portal through which you can access me and sexualize me. You can access information, but you can't sexualize me. So, wow, clearly you stirred that subject up again, but I really do appreciate your input, and I appreciate you taking it seriously, because clearly you did. And it's fascinating to hear of your experiences also as a gender fluid person. Yeah, things get stirred up and people step over the line, so I'm sorry you have to deal with that as well. I definitely get the reaction sometimes of guys on FetLife who approach me, and when I tell them I'm not interested, they get really angry, call me names, and, you know, it's just, you press the block button, it's pretty easy. But it always surprises me. There's so much about being on the internet and the anonymity that has allowed way too many people to push manners and being polite and having integrity to the side, and it's kind of a shame. So I encourage everybody out there listening, you know, don't do that. Keep it classy. Okay, on to the next one. This was an email. I'm curious to get information regarding how to peg a friend safely. Thanks for your assistance. Wow, okay, I wrote this person back and gave them links to the frequently asked questions as well as the basics of pegging, and hopefully she can find some information, because I'm not prepared to teach an entire class here on my podcast, nor was I prepared to teach an entire class in the email that I responded, although I'm thrilled that it is a female, at least by the name that was on her email, who is writing in wanting to get information before they dive in, literally and figuratively. It's really commendable to want to research it and make sure that you do it safely, which is awesome. Okay, here's another email. Hi, Ruby. My girlfriend and I have been pegging for a while. I had prostate hands-free ejaculations before, but not every time. I read there are herbs or supplements that can help, but no information on which ones. Do you have any recommendations? Well, you know, just a little while ago, we had the guy who gave us his hint, which was to use the Claritin D, and the ingredient in that was pseudoephedrine, and what that does is gives you erectile dysfunction. And in his case, what it did was it totally focused the pleasure on his prostate and made those prostate sensations many times more intense. So that's the only one that I know of. I don't know of any herbs or supplements, and this is an over-the-counter allergy type thing that you can take. That's all the information I have for you in terms of herbs or supplements or things that you can take to encourage prostate orgasms. And here's my last email. Hey, Ruby. I've fantasized about anal play for years and recently bought my very first toy to begin to experiment with, mostly alone. I love the feeling of having my ass penetrated, and I've had some mind-blowing orgasms this way. But the last few times I anally masturbated, I've experienced an odd sensation. And it isn't unpleasant, but the sensations are very mild, almost as if the feelings in my ass distract the orgasm. Have you ever heard of this? Best wishes and many happy returns. Okay, so you don't tell me how old you are. If anything feels sort of different or strange than it used to, one of the things that I would suggest is to get your prostate checked, but you might be very young, which would be less likely that anything is not happening in a good way to your prostate. But I did recently hear from a man who said that ass play seems to attenuate his orgasms. And what he experienced was, and I read this on a podcast, what he experienced was when he played with his ass, although it felt great and everything, the resulting orgasms were pretty meh, you know? So he's the only person that I've heard talk about it, and it does sound similar. So that's the only information that I have. I don't know why this happens. I'm really curious. I'd love to hear from any other men who have the experience of playing with their ass, having the ass play feel great, but then when they come, it's just not as strong. Now, yours seems to have changed, you who wrote this in, because you said you've had some mind-blowing orgasms this way. And you said the last few times, and this is why, depending on your age, sir, I would recommend that you just, you know, get a checkup and have that checked. Because if something's changed and it's different, then you should have it checked out and make sure everything's okay. So I hope everything's fine. Let us know how it goes. And thanks for writing in. And so I'm going to call it a day. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Also, you can find my work at pegging101.com, and this is where I have informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you like. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order any of these sexy new toys that I talk about from enticeme.com, please remember to use the coupon code Ruby for a whopping 20% off your purchase. And do remember that shipping is free for orders over $100. Please send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too simple, too silly, or too strange. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Send me those questions, throw them in my mailbox, or you can call me at 805-500-6544. Thank you all for downloading and listening. You rock. Happy pegging.